The Lord be with you. We welcome you into God's house on this second Wednesday in the Lenten season. This midweek Lenten sermon series is focused on our Lord's last words. Tonight we focus on Jesus looking the repentant sinner in the eyes and saying, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." We begin with our first hymn. Rise. The order of Vespers begins on page 229. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
Be seated for the next hymn.
Tonight we begin a reading of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, drawn from all four Gospel readings. As you listen in, please keep in mind, Christ is on his way to the cross for you. Now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, also called the Passover, drew near, and Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be given over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the scribes assembled with the elders of the people in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted how they might take Jesus craftily and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people," for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, one of the 12. He went his way to the chief priests and captains and spoke together with them how he might betray Jesus to them. They were glad to hear him. He said to them, "What will you give me to betray him to you?" They promised to give him money and agreed with him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas accepted, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Then came the first day of the unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" Jesus said to them, "Go into the city, and when you have entered the city, watch for a man bearing a pitcher of water. When he meets you, follow him into the house where he enters. You shall say to the man who lives there, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the room for me to eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us." The disciples did as Jesus had directed them. They came into the city and found it as he had told them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, Jesus sat down and the apostles with him. As they were eating, he said, "I have longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I say to you, I shall not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." There was also a strife among them as to which of them should be accounted the greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors. It shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that serves. For who is greater, he that sits at the table or he that serves? Is it not he that sits at the table? But I am among you as a servant. You are they who have continued with me in my temptations. I appoint you to a kingdom as my Father has appointed me. You shall eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus knew that his hour was come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he loved them to the end. Already Satan had put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not know now, but after these things you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed does not need to wash more than his feet, for he is clean altogether. You are clean, but not all of you. He knew who was to betray him. That is why he had said, not everyone was clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, and he sat down again, he said to them, do you not know what I have done to you? You call me the Master and the Lord, and it is good that you say this, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have done this to show you the way to do as I have done to you. Truly, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak of you all. I know whom I have chosen. The scripture must be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Already now I tell you of this before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives anyone whom I shall send receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, his spirit was in turmoil. He bore witness and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, dumbfounded about whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Simon Peter said to him, ask who it is of whom he is speaking. The disciple who was reclining on Jesus' chest said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus then answered, it is the one to whom I shall give the piece of bread after I have dipped it. He dipped the piece of bread he had in his hand and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After the piece of bread had been dipped, Satan entered into that one. Jesus said to him, what you are doing, do quickly. No one at the table knew what the purpose was of what Jesus had said to him, because Judas kept the money bag. Some thought Jesus had told him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. When that man had received the piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify him in himself, and at once he will glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. For this I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but afterwards you will follow me. So far, the reading of the Passion story. We continue with the Lenten responsory, Please Rise. Teach me your way, deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies, protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies, protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies, protect me
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is in Luke 23. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, last Wednesday we heard Jesus crying out to his Father to forgive the very folks who were taunting and slapping and whipping and nailing him to the cross. We listened in as the Son asked his dear Father to be merciful to some nasty folks who really didn't know what was happening. We ended with this paragraph on the subject of forgiveness last week. Forgiveness is not saying to the people in your life who have hurt you, "It's okay, don't worry about it." Rather, it is saying to them, "What you did hurt me. But Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins." Forgiveness is not so much about waiting for people to say they're sorry and making sure they've learned their lesson. Rather, it's about receiving every day a boatload of forgiveness from God. It's about being grateful for that forgiveness, and then it's about being generous with that forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't so much about forgetting what people have done against you. It's about making a decision not to get even. It's not so much about waiting for people to get their act together. It's about being proactive with God's grace as a way of giving the Spirit of God a chance to work on people's hearts. Tonight, we see Jesus hanging on the cross between two guilty criminals. In fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah predicting that Jesus would be numbered among the transgressors, we hear one of the robbers insulting and mocking Jesus, wondering out loud, "If he was the promised Savior, well, why wouldn't you be saving himself and us?" We hear the other robber warning him that he should be afraid of God, reminding him that the two of them were getting what they deserved, pointing out that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and then pleading for Jesus to remember him, to give him a second chance. One more time tonight, I invite you to come to the crosses of Calvary with any of the bad you may have done and the good you may have failed to do. Come with the sins you know and feel in your hearts and those of which you're not even aware. Dear friends, come with an original condition of sin and your actual sins. Come with any nasty thoughts or petty words or less than perfect motives or self-centered actions. Come with any bad habits into which you may have fallen and listen in. Listen in, first of all, as Jesus intercedes on your behalf to the Father, "Forgive these people, for they really don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. For these are the folks I have lived for. These are the folks I have suffered on behalf of. These are the folks for whom my body has been broken and my blood has been poured out. Father, these are the folks whose debts I have paid. I have covered their sins. I have atoned for their guilt. I have saved their souls. Father, I love them so much." Two meditations tonight as we focus on our Lord promising a repentant thief, "You'll be with me soon." Two conversations we look at tonight. Conversation number one is between two criminals in their dying moments, and conversation number two is between Jesus and a repentant sinner. In meditation number one, we wonder what we might learn from a final conversation between two sinners staring death in the face. We don't know much about these two thieves on the cross. We know they were Israelites who had the privileges of the temple and its sacrifices. We know that they had the Old Testament and the hope of the Messiah. We know that they had gone down the wrong path in life. We know they had sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And we know that on a little hill outside of Jerusalem, they had one last chance. They had one last chance to cry out for mercy to a God who desires nothing more than to show mercy. It's very possible that nearby these two criminals were moms and dads, maybe even a grandma or a grandpa, crying their eyes out over the fate of their beloved sons. We might label one of them too late, and the other one almost too late. If we look closely tonight, we'll see ourselves in these two thieves. No, we may not be guilty of armed robbery or a crime that landed us in jail, but we have sinned much, and we often confess that we deserve punishment from God. No, we may have not gotten our names in the paper with illegal and newsworthy behavior, but day after day, our good intentions go awry. The good that we want to accomplish gets put off until tomorrow. And the wrong pathways that we are trying to avoid, we often go down them. The really good news for both of these criminals was that Jesus, the very promised Messiah, was nearby. Both of them were as close to a full and complete pardon as I am from the folks in the front of this sanctuary. Jesus was nearby. The lost thief even had an advantage over the other in that he had a special warning from the other one. He saw the other one turn to Jesus. He needed only to follow that example, but he was lost while the other was saved. We think of Peter repenting in the Passion story, but Judas hanged himself. Luke records Jesus saying about the end times, "In that night there will be two men in one bed, one will be taken and the other lost." What might we learn tonight from conversation number one? Well, we learn it's never too late until it's too late. Or to say it another way, every conversation, every single conversation in every one of our days is an opportunity to encourage or to be encouraged. Every conversation of yours is a chance to warn or to be warned. St. Paul said it this way to the Corinthians, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life." In meditation number two, we might learn about living here and now in light of our Lord's promise, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Thief number two didn't just feel sorry for himself. He directed his sorrow to the one who could do something about it. He didn't blame others for the wrongs he had done. He blamed himself. He didn't complain about his punishment. He accepted it. He offered Jesus no excuses. He didn't say that he was really a good boy inside, or that he had gone to Sunday school, or that he had completed confirmation instruction. Rather, he knew that it was God through the government that had nailed him to the cross. And in his terror, he cries out for Jesus to remember him. He didn't ask for a seat of glory among the angels, but rather he begs, as my golden doodle begs for a scrap of my peanut butter toast. He pleads as a homeless person would ask for a place to stay for the night. He hopes as a villain would look for a bit of mercy. Tonight, we hear Jesus from the cross, and he doesn't have to think about it and get back to the thief. He answers immediately. Jesus had disappointed Herod with his silence. He had surprised Pilate by not answering, but he speaks eagerly to a repentant sinner. In this moment, we see the love of our God for us. He is the one who eats and drinks with sinners. He's the one who declared servants to be his friends. He was numbered among the criminals so that he might be our Savior. He died to take away the guilt of our sin. He died to take away the power of our iniquity. He died to take away the eternal consequences of our guilt. No greater love is there than that a man would lay down his life for another man. And tonight we can imagine that no greater joy from God in heaven above, that he has no greater joy than to snatch a lost soul from the fires of damnation, just when the devil thought that he had another one for sure. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks who know they are living in the end times. They wake up every morning rejoicing that the sign of the cross has been placed upon their forehead and upon their heart. They see every new day as a day that could be their last. They engage in every conversation as though it could be their final. They lay their heads down at night, admitting one more time they have fallen short, believing one more time that Jesus and his angels are nearby, resting one more time, knowing that God never slumbers. He never sleeps. They close their eyes. They travel in their minds to the foot of the cross, where Jesus looks them in the eyes and he promises, soon, you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. A peace of God which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. We sing our next hymn, verses 4 through 6 of 447. Thank you.
Please rise for prayer, followed by the Kyrie on page 233. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept us this day. And we pray that you would forgive us all our sins where we have done wrong and graciously keep us this night. For into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls, and all things. Let your holy angel be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry to you. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.